Welcome you guys here tonight. Appreciate you coming out. Let me mention, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy again. We started that study a few weeks ago, so I encourage you to turn there to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. The last book in the first five books called the Pentateuch. So one of the themes of Deuteronomy is, remember that word we used a couple weeks ago? Remember. God wants Israel to remember what he's done, remember how he provided, remember the promises, remember the law, remember the commandments that he gave to Israel. We're going to be in chapter 13. And what I want to do this evening is sort of take one of the themes of Deuteronomy that is reoccurs over and over again, that is also found in this passage we're going to read tonight. So in chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, it says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and that sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you and says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, the son or your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul secretly entices you and says, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you or your fathers or the gods of the people are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he has sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, and says, corrupt men have gone out from among you, and entice the inhabitants of their city, and say, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Then you shall inquire and search out and ask diligently, and if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all of its plunder in the middle of the street, and completely burn with fire the city and all of its plunder for the Lord your God. It shall be a heap forever, it shall not be built again. So none of the accursed things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you and multiply you just as he swore to your fathers. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all of his commandments, which I command you today, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Let's pray. Lord, this evening as we continue our journey through the book of Deuteronomy, may we have a heart for the things of the Lord and understand how even these kinds of passages apply to us. And I just pray that you would help us to glean from this precious book. Your word says all scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So we want to be able to look at this Old Testament book, part of the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, and consider the teaching of it, some of the phrases that you use, particularly tonight, and then apply it to our own personal walk as individuals that are a part of the new covenant. And we thank you as we consider the old covenant and some of the things that they did. We just thank you that we're under a new covenant and following the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless our evening. Thank you again for the Christmas season. We just pray this will be the last time we meet until next year. And we just pray that you would help us to start that whole new year afresh with a new commitment, a new devotion to you, a surrender into your hands what you want for us this coming year. May you be glorified in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention, if you will, in verse 3. It says, the latter part of verse 3 says, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So that's really one of the phrases I want to look at this evening, because it happens a number of times in the book of Deuteronomy. And as you read through these kinds of books, when there are certain phrases that are repetitive that come up again and again and again, actually this phrase is used 9 times in the book of Deuteronomy, all of your heart and all of your soul. And so whenever God repeats something, it's worth considering and thinking about what it really means. So here's the point I want to make. What does it really mean? Well, the title of this message is Complete Devotion. When it says all of your heart, all of your soul, God is talking about really complete devotion that He wants from us. The word heart, really, that is used in the Scriptures, throughout the Scriptures, for the seat of our passions, or the very core of what drives us. When we talk about our soul, we think about our mind, will, and emotions. You know, so we love the Lord with all of our passions, all of our energy, all of our strength is another term that's used. Matter of fact, one of the passages in the book of Deuteronomy talks about all of our heart, soul, and strength. But the word strength there literally means the passions. And it connects back with the heart. So the heart really is the passions, this great zeal for the Lord. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. If God's telling these people under the old covenant to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord with all of their heart and soul, meaning that at the very core of the reason they're alive, the reason they do what they do, the purpose of their life, and certainly with our soul, which means our mind, will, and emotions, with our understanding, with our cognitive forces, we want to understand, for instance, when the Bible says we're to worship the Lord thy God in spirit and truth. So not only do we worship God in spirit, meaning with our in the very depths of our heart, but we also minister to the Lord and worship God in truth. We want to understand how to worship Him. It sort of ties in with our soul and also with our heart. So it's used throughout the Scriptures. Let me just give you some places in Deuteronomy where it's used, and I want to briefly turn there. Turn, if you will, first of all, in the 4th chapter. Go to chapter 4 there. God's going to talk in chapter 4, verses 25 through 31 about this idea of serving the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul. But it's really related to if you disobey God and you're carried to a foreign land. Remember, God told them that if you don't follow me, if you disobey me, that I'll actually end up destroying your country, scattering you across the globe. And then He talks about if once you're in those foreign lands, you cry out to me, then I'm going to restore you to the land. So look in, if you will, in chapter 4, verse 25. Here's what it says. It says, when you beget children and grandchildren and have grown in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke Him to anger. So in other words, they're worshiping idols. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will utterly be destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples. Meaning again, there's a new term or a word used in the New Testament called the diaspora. The word diaspora means scattering. The Jews were scattered in 70 AD. So in 70 AD, the Romans came, they destroyed the temple, and the Jews were scattered. And of course, back in 1948 is when God began to regather Israel, when they became a nation again. But in verse 27, the Lord will scatter you among the people, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither can see or hear or eat or smell. Meaning simply this, if you're going to worship gods, let me just carry you away and you'll worship them in these other nations. So, I mean, it's sort of ironic in a way. Then look in verse 29, if you will. It says, from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice. So if you repent and turn to the Lord in those lands, verse 31, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore to them. So this term is used, the idea of all of your heart and all of your soul. So if you worship idols and your heart drifts from the Lord and God judges you and scatters you across the land, and all of a sudden in that land you turn back to the Lord and you cry out to Him with all of your heart and all of your soul, then God will hear. And that's exactly what He did. And so that's used in the idea of restoring. Now let me just encourage you in this way. What I want to do is look at these phrases and apply them to our lives. So my point is, if in my life or your life we find ourselves have drifted from God, we find ourselves in some foreign land. In other words, if we drift away from the Lord, but if we cry out to Him, certainly under the old covenant, if they did that, God would have mercy. How much more under the new? You know, and we have to remember, this is old covenant. And you know, God, this is old covenant versus the new covenant. But it's a very important phrase that God uses 9 times. So one of the themes of Deuteronomy is all of your heart and all of your soul. Or your complete devotion. I want everything you have. Now we talked about one of the fallacies or one of the weaknesses of the old covenant is it never provided any ability to change our hearts. The new covenant is a transformation of the heart. God gives us grace to follow Him. A very, very big difference. So we have to always remember that as we're looking through the book of Deuteronomy or any Old Testament book. Then also, I want to point out, God tells us it will go well with us if we do this. Look in chapter 6. That phrase is used again, verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments that the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Remember, they are right on the borders of the Jordan River, fixing to cross over into the promised land. So God's reminding them and rehearsing to them all the things He said to them. Then He says in verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all of His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul. There's that phrase again. All of your heart, all of your soul. And with all of your strength, again, that means vehemently. The Hebrew word means passions. Very similar to our heart. And then in verse 6, and these words which I command you today, you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes or between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So God's referring there to this fact that God will bless them if they do this. If they serve God, when they cross over with all their heart, God's going to bless them. Now, isn't that true today? You know, in other words, we are blessed, as the Bible says, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And yet, as believers, the idea of serving the Lord with complete devotion, there's a blessing associated with that. We're blessed. So the idea in the passage is don't have a divided heart. Don't have a separated heart. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul. Complete devotion is what God wants. There's a blessing that is associated with that, not only in the old covenant, but certainly in the new also. It makes a difference. It will go well with us. You know, one of the things we're seeing, and it's become so stark to me, is more and more the world, the country is turning away from the Lord. We see that more and more all the time. And we've talked about that in our study of 1 Corinthians and how the course of the world or the tide of the world is moving away from Christianity in a very rapid pace and is becoming more and more antagonistic to Christianity. And so that's the tide of the world. So unbelievers are caught up in all that. They're being driven or they're being carried away with all that, those things. And yet, so much more so, we need to be in the Word, in the Scriptures, so that God would bless us, and that it would be obvious that God is blessing us, that God is with us. Now, when I say God's blessing us, there's all kind of ways that He blesses, not necessarily materially. That doesn't mean He doesn't bless us materially, but we talked about in the Old Testament, one of the primary ways He did bless was materially. Remember, He blessed Abraham. Abraham had huge numbers of flocks and herds and all that. He blessed Job. In the New Testament, the blessings are not just physically, but they're spiritual blessings. We have these amazing blessings. We have a relationship with the Lord. We see what's happening around us and we understand what's going on. That's part of the blessing of the Lord. So it's part of this admonition here to make sure that we're writing the word, we're keeping the word. We looked at that last time we met. That we hide God's word in our heart and there's a blessing associated with that. I'm reminded of Revelation. The Bible says about Revelation, blessed is the man that reads and the man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. So there's an automatic blessing in going through Revelation, whether you understand it or not. It doesn't say if you understand it. It just says if you read it or you hear it. So if you're not a reader, you know, look, put the tape in and listen to Alexander Scorby or something. You know the scripture. I turn that on every morning for my son to listen to. But my point in all that is there's a blessing associated with it, with all of our heart. Think about what I'm saying. God's word here is that if you will devote your heart, all your heart, complete devotion to me, you will be blessed. And that happens not only in the old covenant under the old law, but in the new covenant to believers. In other words, it pays to follow Jesus. It's worth committing your life and heart to Jesus. And the more you're committed to him, the more you're devoted to him, the better it will be for you. In all kinds of ways. Then also look, if we will, in chapter 10. It's also required by God. God requires this complete devotion. So it's not just, I'm going to bless you if you do that. It's one of God's commandments, if you will. Look in verses 12 and 13, chapter 2 and 12 and 13. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. So God requires that. It's one of the requirements. So is there any, you know, what did Jesus say? You know, if you don't forsake all you have, you can't be my disciple. I mean, the Bible encourages us as Christians to devote everything to the Lord. Complete devotion to the Lord. And if we do that, it's one of God's requirements, not only on the old covenant, it's just one of the requirements God has for all people. And think about it like this. God's going to judge those that aren't following him. God's going to destroy them. So as Christians, we need to make sure that our hearts are wholly devoted, wholly committed, completely surrendered to Jesus. You know, and so we're going against the tide. The world's going away from the Lord. The world's just moving very rapidly away from Christianity. And yet we are going the opposite direction. We are pursuing Christ. We want to know the Lord. We want to walk with the Lord. We want to talk about the Lord. We were talking earlier before the study tonight how, you know, someone's really frustrated because when they say, hey, to everybody, they say, well, you know, have a good day or happy holiday. They don't say Merry Christmas. Sometimes I'll say, Merry Jesusmas. I just want to sort of, you know, I just love Jesus. And we love Jesus. And we don't, the whole idea of erasing Christ and removing Jesus from everything, that's just crazy. And let me say this, as there's a blessing for following Jesus, there is judgment for not following Jesus. There's the wrath of God's going to be poured out on those that don't follow the Lord. And people are just ignoring that. They don't know that. They're just walking blindly along like everybody else. They're caught up in the whole movement, the spiritual tide that's moving away from the Lord that will culminate in the appearing of the Antichrist. But it's the signs of the times in which we live. So we're going against the flow. And that's one of the reasons we gather on Wednesday night, right? We gather here on Wednesday night, Sunday morning. We read our Bibles. We have our devotional time. We need to continue to maintain that passion for Christ with all of our heart and all of our mind. And that's what the Bible says. Then also look, if you will, in verse 11, 13 through 17. There's another statement here about all of our heart and all of our soul, about how it's required for God's blessing, which sort of ties in with some of the things he's already said. But in chapter 11, verses 13 through 17, here's what it says. It says, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commands, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain, the latter rain. And you may gather in your grain, your new wine, your oil. I will send grass on your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Now we'll start right there. But my point is, God is ultimately saying, you know, not only are we blessed, but to maintain that blessing, there's a blessing to follow Jesus. And it's becoming evident. And God's going to bless what we do. Remember we talked about how God said earlier in our study of Deuteronomy that hiding the word in our heart, you know, knowing the word of God, this is our wisdom. And what I mean by that, and I use the term that wisdom is justified by her children. The New Testament says that. Meaning simply that wisdom is proven by the fruit that it produces. And what I mean by that is if you don't follow Jesus, you'll end up proving that it pays not to follow Jesus. When you're not following Jesus, you're going to pay for it. But on the other hand, if you follow Jesus and do what God's word says, then there's a blessing associated with that. It pays to follow Jesus. It makes a difference in my life, in other words. So it's not just theological. It's not just some idea. It's a practical blessing of God upon our lives. We have this joy. We have this peace. That doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. But we have this worldview. We see the world the way the Bible says because we're hiding His word in our heart. We serve the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul, which means with our passions, but we serve the Lord intellectually in the sense that we understand how to serve the Lord. We know what God wants. God has, what does the Bible say? God has shown the old man what God requires of us. And that's what the Bible is talking about there. So it's required for God's blessing. And then look in verse chapter 13. We already read that earlier. I'd like to jump down to verse 3. And what God is saying there, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul. Let me just put it like this. You and I are told and encouraged every day, every week, every month to forsake the Lord. Our culture is encouraging us not to follow Jesus. We're encouraged, don't mention Merry Christmas. Just say Happy Holiday. It's another way of saying that. It's just another way of removing Christ. What am I saying here? He's talking about a person that comes to you that claims to be a prophet. And even if this prophet has some miraculous sign, but encourages you not to follow the Lord, don't listen to him. But we are encouraged rather to serve the Lord with all of our soul and all of our heart, you know, which is the opposite. So no matter what, we've got to make sure that nothing in this world is causing me to turn away from the Lord. I want to challenge you. Let me just ask you this question. Is there anyone or anything in your life, encouraging you not to follow Jesus? Now, I understand that everywhere you turn, we're being encouraged not to follow Jesus. But there's times that we are too involved. The Bible says, for instance, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Fellowship is intimate relationships. So we're encouraged in the Bible, don't have intimate relationships or close associated with people that are not following Jesus. Have no fellowship with what? Unfruitful works of darkness. Rebellious people, disobedient people, people that don't, or that hate Jesus, that don't follow Jesus, or even just people that are ignoring God. Why? Because the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. What that means is that if I'm associated with evil people or ungodly people, it's going to corrupt my heart and encourage me not to follow the Lord. See my point? So we've got to do everything we can. Now let me say, you know, Paul the Apostle mentions this and he says, look, I'm not talking about having no contact with unbelievers because then we'd have to go out of the world. We're encouraged in the Bible to reach out to the unsaved, to reach out to the ungodly, to reach out to agnostics and atheists and everybody. Everybody needs Jesus. But there's one thing doing that and there's another thing where we're just associating and enjoying and we're being drawn away by them. And they are negatively affecting us as opposed to me wanting to affect them and encourage them to follow Jesus. And that's where you draw the line. That's where we have to realize that. So in this passage in the 13th chapter, God is saying ultimately, I want you to have a heart for me. I want you to serve me with all of your heart and with all of your soul, your mind, your thoughts. I want everything. He wants complete devotion. And if somebody comes into your life and encourages you not to follow the Lord, even a prophet that claims to be a prophet and does some miraculous work. See, in some people's mind, they don't know the Bible. So if there's any kind of miraculous work, oh, that's got to be God. I'm telling you, it's not. You've got to test everything by Scripture. And what God is saying here is, if someone comes and does some miracle in front of your eyes but encourages you not to follow the Lord, don't even listen to that guy. Matter of fact, under the old covenant, they were to be put to death. Because God knew that those kind of people coming into the nation, in the latter part of this 13th chapter, he talks about a city that's so corrupted that these people are saying, this city over here is sending out people that are encouraging us not to follow the Lord. And in this chapter, it says that God wanted Israel to surround that city and wipe it out. Why? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Or the way to apply that in my life or yours is, I want to make sure there's nothing in my life that is actively working against me following Christ. And if there is, I need to turn from it. I need to get it. Why? God wants me to serve him with all of my heart and with all my mind. And if I don't, it's going to affect me. It's going to affect my kids. It's going to affect my family. It's going to affect people I'm around. It's going to affect me personally. So it's important to understand there's a reason. God loves me. God wants to bless. God has no desire to destroy people. And yet he has to. He's holy. He wants people to follow him. He begs people to follow him, but he gives them a choice. You know, God wants to bless. He says, look, I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose to be blessed by doing what? By serving the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul. And so it goes across not only Old Testament, but New Testament. That's why I'm looking at Deuteronomy, and nine times God says that. Nine times. What does that mean? It means that God wants me to pay attention to those words and understand what he's trying to say to me. He wants me. He wants everything in my life. And so I'm constantly, you and I are constantly looking at our lives saying, Lord, is there anything that's hindering me from following you? Anything that's working against me from following you? Are there things that I'm doing that are hindering that? That's important to know. So God wants me to be careful and to be protected from other individuals or things that would draw me away. And then also in chapter 26, verses 16 through 19, God tells us to serve him with all of our heart and all of our soul to protect our commitment. In other words, we make a commitment. I want to serve the Lord. Here we come to January 1st. You know, people make commitments. There's nothing wrong with making a commitment as long as you mean it. You know what I'm saying? A commitment to follow Jesus, okay? But I'm saying, what kinds of things hinder me to break that commitment? Well, that's what he's talking about in this passage. Look in chapter, again, 26, verses 16 through 19. It says, this day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all of your heart and with all your soul. There it is again. I've got it underlined nine times in this book. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. So think about what he just said. You know, then he says, verse 18, also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be a special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all of his commandments, that he will set before you high above the nations, which he has made in praise, in name, in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he's spoken. So what is he saying in verse 16? You shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and all of your soul. Verse 17, today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God. You've made a commitment. You've made a decision to follow Jesus. So if I've made that decision, then I've got to protect my heart and my soul so that I'm completely devoted to following him. Because let me tell you, if you give in, if you start drifting away, or if I said earlier, if you begin to associate with people that are actively encouraging you to forsake the Lord and turn away from the Lord, or whatever it may be, then what's going to happen to that commitment is it'll begin to wane, it'll begin to waver, it'll begin to weaken. And all of a sudden, I find myself down the road a long way from where I intended to be. You see, no one that makes a commitment to follow Jesus just says one day, I'm going to forsake the Lord. It's just a gradual drifting away. It's a failure to protect the heart and the soul from this commitment that you and I make to Jesus. That's what he's saying there. You made a commitment to me. So make sure you're serving with all of your heart and with all of your soul, because if you don't, it's going to be a problem. And then finally in chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. I'm just going to repeat this very quickly. But in chapter 30, verses 2, verses 6, and verse 10, he goes back to chapter 4. And what he says in that chapter, in chapter 30, three times, serve the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul. Why? Because if you're carried captive and you're in a bad spot, if you'll cry out to me, I will deliver you. How does that apply to me? Here's how it applies to me. If I find myself as a Christian, all of a sudden I wake up, you know, my heart's not the way it used to be. My passion's not where it used to be. My zeal for Christ is not where it used to be. My devotion is not where it used to be. If I cry out to God with all of my heart and with all of my soul, Lord, help me, He will deliver me. He will come help me. You see, the amazing thing about the new covenant is God promised, even though we may drift away from Him, He'll never drift away from us. He said He would never leave me. But if I ask for His help with all of my heart, but God requires for you and I to cry out to Him with all of our heart. That's what I'm talking about, complete devotion. You know, partial devotion is not going to cut it with the Lord. God wants everything. And if you haven't given Him everything, He's going to keep poking you and pursuing you to give Him everything. Or let me say it like this. Why would you not give Him everything? What is it that's more important than the Lord? Or what is hindering you from that complete surrender? Maybe there are things in your personal life. You come to the end of this year. We're starting out 2023, coming Sunday. If there's something that's hindering you from full devotion, full commitment, what is it? And I would encourage you tonight, when you think about Deuteronomy, what God's saying nine times in this book, He wants all of your heart, the seat of your passions, the very core of who you are in your passions. In other words, what makes you tick? What drives you? Or what is the reason that you do what you do? And what God is saying to us, what God wants, He wants you and I as the reason for our existence and the reason we live, and He wants Him to be that reason. It's Christ. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the very life. He's our life. He's not just a sideshow. He's not just something I do on Sundays just to sort of satisfy some religious kick. He wants my life. That's what He's always wanted. That's what He's always desired. That's what He's after. Remember in Philippians where Paul talks about, I keep pursuing the Lord. I'm pursuing what God's pursuing me for. He said, all those things that I used to count gain, I now count them as dung so that I can win Christ. I set all that aside. I forsake all that. Why? Because all that stuff, all that religious stuff was hindering me from knowing the Lord. You don't find the Lord in religion. You find Him in relationship by a personal pursuit of this individual called Jesus, who's the King and the Lord and the great Creator of the universe, who died on the cross for us. We are pursuing Christ. And Paul is always saying anything else is going to hinder me from that. So lay aside the sin that so easily besets us, that we might run with patience the race set before us, looking to Jesus. So is there sin that's easily besetting us or clinging to us, or all of a sudden you fall into some trap? You know, how do we do that? Well, we sort of, you know, let devotion sort of slide. We don't pray like we used to. We never fast. We don't attend church regularly. We don't talk about Jesus when we're with other Christians sometimes. Or we get involved in things we shouldn't. Or we begin to compromise. We made this commitment, but now I'm compromising and all of a sudden I'm drifting away. And it's that's not what God wants. And so we've got to understand that. I mean, that's what God's saying to the people in Deuteronomy. Just remember this. I want your whole heart and I want all of your soul. Very, very important. Jesus was asked this question by a lawyer in chapter 22 of Matthew. I got on the screen. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question and tested Him and said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God," how? "With all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Meaning, let me just say this. Even loving your neighbor as yourself, in some ways, is secondary. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, you will love your neighbor as yourself. You have to. The Lord will make sure you do. That's why he puts love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. So that if I love the Lord, I'm going to do what's right. If I really have that, all my heart, all my strength, all my passion for the Lord, then I'll make right decisions. And the reason that I make wrong decisions is because I have this wavering in my life, this slacking up. So we need to, as that question came to Jesus, what is the great commandment? The great commandment is here. We need to serve the Lord and love the Lord with all of our hearts. All of our passion as a Christian. And let me just ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. What hinders complete devotion? A divided heart. In Matthew the 6th chapter, if you'll turn there please. Jesus brings this up. Matthew chapter 6, look down in verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, what does that mean? It means this. What are you looking at? Well, what is the aim of your life? What God is saying there, he wants our eye to be on Jesus, our pursuit to be on Jesus, our passion to be on Jesus. Or another way to say that is, what is your goal? Is your goal in life to serve the Lord in whatever way he wants? And yeah, I mean, I'm involved in other things. It's not like we sit around at home and we just go, kumbaya. You know, we're in the world. We're working. We're doing all kinds of things. We're raising families. We're getting wherever we're doing. We're very busy. But our eye needs to be completely focused on the Lord. And what he's saying there is what he said in Deuteronomy. He wants our whole being, our whole heart, and our whole mind on the Lord. Or if our eye is single, if our eye is full of light, our whole body is full of light. As I mentioned in Philippians, Paul was looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to Christ, our pursuit is of Christ. That's the aim of my life, is to know the Lord, to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord, to know, understand his ways and his heart. To make sure there's nothing, there's no body, there's no thing that's dragging me or pulling me or tempting me to forsake him and turn to other things that they lie and say, well, this will satisfy you. This will make you happy. It'll never make you happy. You'll never be satisfied with pursuing things other than Christ. Jesus truly satisfies. And that's what he's ultimately saying in the Old Testament. Look, you go in this promised land, you begin to worship those false gods of these other people. I'm telling you, I'll bring destruction. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your kids. Eventually, I'll destroy your land. I'll destroy the temple. I'll destroy where I was supposed to be worshipped. And I'll be carrying you away all across the globe and scatter you. That's exactly what happened. God warned him. And as he said in Deuteronomy, I set before you a blessing and a cursing. A blessing if you follow me with all your heart, soul, and mind. Or if you forsake me, then I'll bring the curse, the judgment of God. It's the same thing. It's the same thing Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew. He said the same in Luke. So let me close with this. How to not have a divided heart. There we go. Number one, how to not see anything that competes with my devotion to God is wrong. There are very good things. You can be so committed to ministry that you forsake the Lord. He wants you to follow him. Ministry is the sideshow. Ministry is just the result of following Christ. But I know people that are so devoted to ministry or family. God wants you to love your family and raise your family. But you can be so committed to your family that you forsake the Lord. That family is your God. So you see what I'm saying by that? It's not just evil things, but it's anything that keeps your heart and draws you away from the Lord. So in other words, I've got to see anything that competes. If it's competing with Jesus, my affection for Christ, my love for Christ, my devotion to Christ, I'm telling you, it doesn't mean necessarily it's evil. Now, there are certain things that are evil, but it's wrong. You know, you hear the phrase, and I've mentioned this many times, that people say it's God first, you know, then family, and then work or whatever. I don't agree with that. I think it's God first, God second, God third. He wants everything. And if I put him first in everything that I do, then he'll cause me to to do my family right. He'll cause me to put my work in perspective. He'll make sure I'm balanced. But people say that, and what they mean by that is, well, I go to church on Sundays, I go to church on Wednesdays, whatever. And then I don't think about the Lord the rest of the week. But I got my family, so I'll devote, a percentage of my time goes to the Lord. God doesn't want a percentage of your time. We taught about even tithing and giving. God wants us to give. But please understand, when I give to the Lord, it's that percentage I give is just a token. It's all His. He wants every bit of me. He wants my life. He wants my time. He wants everything. And he'll make sure when I do that He makes everything in balance. If I'm following the Lord, I'm not going to forsake my family. The Bible says if a man doesn't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. So God wants me to take care of my family. God wants me to be responsible for my family. God wants me to have my work in balance. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. So when I work, I want to make sure I serve the Lord. When I minister, I want to do it the way God wants. But He's always first. He's always everything to us. So it's got to be complete devotion. So make sure that we're looking and say, is anything, so let me ask you this evening, is anything competing with your devotion and commitment to Christ? Even good things that interfere with that devotion. I'm telling you, it may be something good, but if it's competing and drawing you away from Jesus, it's not the best. Secondly, acknowledge them to God. When I see things that are hindering me or hurting me, acknowledge them. Don't pretend it's not real. What God wanted Israel to do is be honest. Just be honest. You know, when you sin, say, I've sinned. I blew it. You know, sometimes we pretend. Oh yeah. I'm devoted to the Lord. But we're really not, and we know it. And the Lord knows it. So it's so important that you and I are honest. And that's part of going through the Word. That's part of coming on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or while we're in the Bible. That's why we're in Deuteronomy. We just want to look at these and say, all right, here's God saying this 9 times that He wants my whole heart and my whole mind. Why? So that I would be completely devoted to Him. I'll not drift away. I'll be blessed, whatever it may be. If I'm in trouble, that God would hear me and He would help me. He's saying all that because He wants that in our lives. And so I'm saying, as I'm meditating, as I'm reading, I'm saying, Lord, is there anything in my life that is beginning to creep in? It's not necessarily evil, but it may be a good thing, but all of a sudden I'm getting out of balance. And what the Holy Spirit's always doing is getting us, making sure we're in balance. Making sure that I'm doing what He wants me to do. So we're always evaluating. We're always introspecting, saying, Lord, sir, as David said in Psalms, search me and try me. And see if there's any wicked way in my heart. As it says in the New Testament, examine yourselves whether or not you're in the faith. Prove your own selves or test your own selves. So what are we doing tonight? We're testing ourselves. Lord, I'm coming to the end of this year, the start of a new year coming Sunday. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to devote your whole heart and your whole mind to the Lord? I would say this, it's worth it. It is worth it. And please understand that, you know, I think some people are thinking, well, we're just in la la land up in some spiritual high and we're, you know, the old phrase, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You know, we've talked about that before. I believe the most earthly good people are the people that are most heavenly minded. If you're heavenly minded, if you're on the Lord, He will cause you to, you'll be effective. You'll be ministering to people, helping people, encouraging people, ministering, sharing Christ. And all that. So we need to acknowledge that there's something creeping into my life. Be honest. And then finally, we need to come to a place where we rededicate ourselves to the Lord. I've said before that Christian growth is simply a series of rededications. Let me just say it like this. When's the last time you rededicate your life to following Jesus? I was telling Donna, I sort of love this time of year because I just love almost like starting over in January with a fresh start with the church and the ministry and the word and all that. I just have that, you know, it just, you know, for a lot of years I felt that way. And I like to rededicate my life. And so in a year's time, I'll rededicate myself, I don't know, 50, 60 times. I don't know if it's that many, but that's once a week, isn't it? But we need to rededicate ourselves. We need to come to a place that, Lord, I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. There may be some things that are out of balance, even tonight. You say, you know, I've gotten too focused on my job. And my job, when I wake up at night, when I go to bed at whatever, when I get up in the morning, all I'm thinking about is my job. There's a problem. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord, Lord, I want to think about you. What did David say in Psalms? Early will I seek you. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We're living in a dry and thirsty land, spiritually dry land in America. And so we need to seek the Lord early and say, Lord, help me. Because the whole tide of our country is forsaken you. They're angry at you. They hate you. They despise you. If people follow you, they hate those people. Just like the Bible says. Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And so it gets harder. But to me, it's a challenge. It's more of a challenge to follow the Lord. So why not rededicate your life to the Lord? Why not recommit yourself to the Lord tonight? You're coming up this coming Sunday, a brand new year. Maybe there's some things you want to change. Let me ask you a question. I've encouraged the church every year, read through the Bible. Start in January. Go all the way through the Bible. Read it. I encourage you to read the Bible through every year about three times. And so my point in that, I've done that for 47 years. And I'm only saying that because it's important. The word's important. It makes a difference. It affects your life. It impacts your life. It changes your life. It affects the way you view the world. And I need all the help I can get because I'm weak. I need the Lord to help me. And so I've got to do these things. It's important for me. So why not commit yourself coming Sunday? Just read through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation in a year. They've got year Bibles. You can, all different kinds of ways of doing it. I just basically start in Genesis and go through to Revelation. And when I finish that, I start over. I've been doing that for 47 years. Or actually 44 years. The first 3 years I read the New Testament. Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation. So why not commit to that? Why not commit to prayer? More prayer. Why don't you fast? Try fasting once a week or once a month. Commit to that. Ministering to somebody, visiting somebody. There are people that need visiting or helping the poor. Or just following the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this evening as we close our study, thank you again for just reminding us in Deuteronomy that we need to serve the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind. Or of our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. Which means the very passion of why I'm existing, what makes me click, or the great driving force of my life, our lives, needs to be you. Because you demand it. You command it. That's what you want. And Lord, you want it not for your sake, but for ours. Because when we do that, we're the ones that are blessed. We're the ones that are rewarded for doing that. We're the ones that, as you said, as to Israel back in the Old Testament, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Why would you choose death? Why would you follow other gods and turn away from me and get judged? What's good about that? Nothing good about it. And the same thing is true today. You still set before us life and death, as a Christian even. You want us to be spiritually minded people. You want us to be focused on the kingdom of God. And that requires that we're in the Word. Not only that we're in the Word, but that more importantly that the Word is in us. That the Word is inside our heart. That we're holding on to it. That we're hiding it in our heart. The Bible says, thy Word have I kept in my heart that I would not sin against you. So we need to hide the Word in our heart and memorize it and meditate on it and think about it. Because it makes a difference in the way that we live. So I want to pray even right now that all of us here would say, look, we're coming to a brand new year this Sunday. Is there anything I need to evaluate my life and change? And here's the deal. Ask the Lord to help us. Lord, you give grace to the humble. You give strength to the weak. And we're all weak. We can't do this apart from you. And so we come to you and say, Lord, how do I give to you my whole heart? How do I give to you my whole soul? Other than the grace of God enabling me to do that. It's your grace that enables us to do that. So we come to you, humble ourselves, and say, Lord, we just want to be wholly devoted this coming year to you. What you're doing this time, who knows, this may be the year you come back for us. We know things are changing very rapidly in our country. Things are getting worse very rapidly. This is it. If there's ever a day to seek, or ever a time to seek, now's the time. For such a time as this, here we are, in this place on a Wednesday night, hearing this study, talking about giving our complete heart and soul to the Lord. And I pray that even now we would say yes to you. And we'll give you praise. We'll worship you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.